Amen. This morning, the word of God given to us is Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 17. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 17. Jesus is the healer of all diseases, sicknesses. Do you believe? If you believe, it will be done as we believe. You know, in the words of Jesus, many times we can find, it will be done as you believe. Okay, let us read chapter 8, verse 1 to 17. Let me start. Verse 1, when he, Jesus, came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. Jesus reached out, stretched out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go! It will be done, just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. Together, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He said of our infirmities and carried our diseases. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the word of our Lord and Savior and King. We know Gospel Matthew is the book of King. Book of King. Truly, Jesus is your personal king in every area of our life. Yes, Jesus is our king, king of kings. Up to now, we have been introduced the person of that king. For example, from chapter 1 to 4, we have seen the person of this king, Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, his genealogy. Chapter 2, his birth story. Chapter 3, his baptism. Chapter 4, his temptation. And from chapter 5, 6, 7, we have seen the principles of this king on his sermon on the mountain. And now in chapter 8, 9, we will see the power of this king. So we have seen this king's person and principles and power. Especially in chapter 8, 9, we can see 10 miracles of Jesus Christ, 10 miracles. Then most of them are healings. Also, today's story, we see many, many healings, physical healings, also spiritual healings, because he cast out demons and Satan. Yes, it is very natural. What good are his credentials or his principles if he does not have the power to accomplish his will, his purpose? So from this story, we will see his powers, his miracles. And why did Jesus perform miracles? There are several reasons or purposes why Jesus performed, accomplished miracles. First, yes, Jesus wants to meet humans' need. We have many needs. God is good. God is conscious. God is concerned about temporal well-being, but not only our eternal happiness, our eternal joy, our eternal peace. Also, Jesus performed miracles to prove his claim to be promised Messiah. Also, Jesus performed miracles to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. For example, last verse 17 says, this means Jesus' miracles, Jesus' accomplishments in his healing, in his doing. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. This verse is quoted from Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah 53, verse 4 says, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, took up our iniquities, our weaknesses, and carried our sorrows, our sadness. And finally, Jesus performed miracles to reveal, to show the saving truth. You know, his miracles are sermons in action, in his activity. In today's story, we can see Jesus healed many kinds of men, persons, and many kinds of diseases. For example, Jesus healed first leper, second Gentile's servant and woman, the mother-in-law of Peter. You know, at that time, especially lepers, Gentiles, and women were outcast from Jewish perspective, especially Pharisees. You know, many Pharisees prayed at the time, every morning, I give thanks to God because I'm a man, not woman. Sorry. I'm a Jew, not Gentile. I'm a free man, not slave. Pharisees prayed like this. But Jesus healed all kinds of persons, also all kinds of diseases. Shall we see first healing of Jesus? This is healing of a leper. Jesus cleansed a leper from verse 1 to 4. Let me read from verse 1 to 4 again. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately, not gradually, not step by step, immediately, at once, he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. We know in chapter 5, when Jesus saw many crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down to teach them. And in chapter 5, 6, 7, Jesus taught, Jesus preached his sermon. And in chapter 7, last verse, Jesus finished this sermon. And then chapter 8 starts with his coming down from that same mountain. And still, large crowds followed Jesus to see, to hear more from Jesus Christ. Then in that situation, a leper came to this place and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. I'm willing. Be clean. You know, at that time, in ancient world, at that time, a leper, leprous was the most terrible of all diseases at that time. Can you imagine? Yes, leprosy was a kind of skin disease, skin cancer, like this, skin cancer. Leprous is disease which decays, ulcerates all parts of body progressively. You know, the eyebrows gone away, all fingers, all toes gone away, with loss of all sensation in part of body, and voice becomes hoarse, changed very terribly, badly. Also, eyes became staring. So terrible. Leprosy was too ugly, too thick. Now, I have one memory in my life. When I was a child boy, long, long time ago, Korea had some lepers. Nowadays, maybe no more nowadays. But at that time, when I was a child boy, Korea had some lepers. You know, at the time, there was a saying among Koreans, if a leper is a baby, he will be healed. Wrong idea. So if a leper appears in village, all villagers closed, locked the doors, and watched with tension and kept their babies well and cursed lepers. Go away, go away. They treated lepers badly, more badly than animals. And what is worse is they were treated as if they were dead. Because at the time, they were completely banished and separated, isolated from all communities, even from his family home. They could never participate in any social or religious activities. They had to live alone, isolated place. And when they walked on the street, they should cry. What word? Unclean, unclean. I'm unclean, and I'm unclean. So that others might keep themselves from being unclean by approaching them. This was the situation of lepers at that time. Then from this story, we need to note his approach to Jesus and Jesus' response to him. You know, in his approach, we can see at least four things. First, this leper, this man came to Jesus with courage, passion, enthusiasm, zeal, desperation. You know, in this place, there was not only Jesus, but also many, many people. He knew he was forbidden. He was not allowed to appear in public place. There was possible for him to be stoned, to be killed. But this man wanted to become a person, really. Again, this man wanted to be reunited with his community, his family, his home. He came to Jesus with courage. He needed big courage to approach Jesus Christ. Yes, today, as for us, in this sinful, adulterous generation, in following Jesus Christ, sometimes, many times, we need courage. We need passion. Please remember, just following Jesus is not like going to picnic or tourism. Also, secondly, this man came to Jesus with confidence, assurance, and faith, trusting. He had confidence that if Jesus willed, Jesus could make him clean. He had perfect confidence in Jesus' willingness to accept him as he was, knowing anyone else cast him out and would not welcome him, even his family members. He had confidence, he had faith. Jesus could do something that no one could do. Yes, even today in our life, there is no sicknesses incurable, no sin unforgivable before Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this man came to Jesus with humility, being humble, broken hearts. This man did not ask for healing directly, but this man said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This means, yes, I know I have no claim on you. I have no right to ask you for healing me, but have mercy on me. Pity on me. In your divine condescension, you will give your power even to me, so says me. You know, it is the humble heart, that is conscious of nothing but its need that finds the way to Jesus Christ. Yes, today also God gives grace to the humble. But God rejects the proud, the arrogant. And finally, we know this man came to Jesus with worship. We are here to worship God. This man came to Jesus with worship, reverence. You know, this man knelt before Jesus. I hope you know the one word, knelt. You know, this word, the knelt, is from Greek word proskuneo. Difficult to pronounce. Proskuneo. Actually, proskuneo, literal meaning of proskuneo is prostrate. You know, in English word prostrate comes from Greek word proskuneo. Then proskuneo is translated sometimes just kneeling down, also sometimes worship. You know, if we see many versions of English, NIV, our Bible, NIV, and English Standard Version translate into just knelt. But other versions, such as King James and American Standard Version, translate into worship. If you have other versions, King James Version, this sentence said, he worshiped Jesus. Then Living Bible, do you know Living Bible, another version? Living Bible translate, he knelt and worshiped Jesus Christ. I think in this part, Living Bible is the best version, better. Anyway, this man felt in the presence of Jesus, he was in the presence of God. Yes. Do you feel we are in the presence of God? Do you feel? Then, let's see Jesus' response. We know Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be clean. Yes, Jesus could have healed him just with a word, without touching. Oh, that's okay. Be healed, go back. But Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. We know at the time, everybody shunned the leper, even his family. But Jesus touched him. Jesus touched a man covered with a dreaded contagious disease. What does this mean? You know, by touching that man, Jesus became unclean, ritually, ceremonially. Leviticus 5:3 says, if a man touches somebody or something unclean, he will be unclean. Jesus knew. And Jesus touched him willingly. And by touching him, Jesus took his uncleanness on his body. You know, lepers, I said before, Jesus' miracles were sermon in action to reveal saving truth to us. Lepers is an illustration of sin. Sin is the deeper than skin. Lepers and sin both spread and both defile and isolate. The end of leprosy is physical death, but the wages, the end of sin is physical and spiritual death, eternal isolation from God to hell. Our Lord, our King Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth and became like you and me, became man and touched our sinful souls and took our sin on his body. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But God has put on Jesus Christ the iniquity of our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be righteousness to God. 1 Peter 2:24 says, Jesus Christ, our King himself, bore, took our sins on his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to God, live for God. By his wounds, we have been healed. Do you believe this? By his wounds on the cross, we have been healed. Yes, when Jesus touched him, immediately, wholly, perfectly, healing happened. Do you believe this? Salvation is like this. Salvation is like this. Yes, if we are saved really, truly, we must work out for our salvation continually. But initial salvation happens immediately, not progressively. The moments we accept, we believe Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, salvation happens immediately by his power, not by our own power. Not by our own efforts. only by the power of Jesus Christ. Shall we see next healing? Next healing is paralyzed one centurion's servant, maybe slave, from verse 5 to 13. From verse 5 to 13, second healing. When Jesus came into Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, surprised, and said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects, men, just men of kingdom, referring to Israel, Israelites, referring to Jews, will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it was. And his servant was healed at that very hour, also immediately. I once asked a question to selves, honestly, do you believe, do you think even today Jesus is touched, moved, impressed by our great faith? I hope so. It can be. Centurion is officer over 100 soldiers in Roman army at the time. You know, also from human's perspective, it was not easy, very difficult for him to come to Jesus Christ. He was a professional soldier. He was a professional fighter. But Jesus was a man of peace. He was a Gentile. Jesus was a Jew. At the time, Israel, the Jewish people, hated Roman soldiers because of their oppression and control, ridicule, and they considered them, despised the Gentiles, also unclean. But this man came to Jesus not for himself, not for his family members, not for his parents or children, but for his just a servant, maybe slave. Then Jesus said, yes, I'll go and heal him. Maybe this centurion was shocked, astonished at Jesus' quick and willing response. Then this man said, no, Lord, I have no right to receive you in my home. Just say, and my servants will be healed. It means I know the principle of authority through my experience. Also, I am under authority. Also, I have authority over 100 soldiers. If I say to my man, go, and he goes, come, he comes, do this, he does. At this, Jesus was surprised. Jesus was astonished, and Jesus honored. Jesus praised his faith highly. I have never found in Israel such great faith. And then Jesus said to those around him, many will come from east, west, north, at feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of kingdom will be cast out, driven out, and weeping, gnashing of teeth in the darkness in hell. This means Jesus, on Jesus' path, I am for everybody. My sermon, my message is for everybody. There is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. Yes, even Jews who have no faith will be rejected from the kingdom of heaven. Even Gentiles who had faith, true faith, will be welcomed, accepted in the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus said to him, go, it will be done as you believed. And then his servant was healed also immediately at that very hour. From this story, we can learn many lessons, but the most important lesson from this story is we must understand and apply in our life the principle of authority and the chain of command. You understand the principle of authority is like authority. True authority, please know that true authority has nothing to do with physical distance, physical appearance, physical presence. For example, in material worlds, Brazil is so far from Korea, maybe farthest Brazil. Then Korea ambassador in Brazil is under the authority of a Korea president here. Then if that president has something to order, to command that ambassador in Brazil, she does not need to go to there, Brazil, in body, physically. Just calling or sending email, sending letter has authority enough, practically and legally. Then if this is true in material world, in spiritual world, more true. The greater leaders seldom, hardly accomplish all his work by hands-on effort. You know, the greater Jesus' authority, the less necessary his presence to accomplish, to fulfill his will. Then Jesus is hold of all authorities. Bible says, all authorities in heaven, on heaven, on earth, under the earth, belongs to Jesus Christ. Then Jesus' order, Jesus' command, even in word, is more than enough for anything, everything to be done. Do you believe this? Then true authority comes out from authority. Authority, the word authority, comes from author. Do you know author? Jesus is the author of authority. Authority comes out from author. Just like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth just a word. God made something out of nothing. Man makes nothing out of nothing. Only God, only Jesus can make something out of nothing. We know the story of Genesis, the first man's story, Adam. You know, God created Adam, and then God gave Adam all authority, all authorities over all creations. Fish move on the ground, in the sea, on the sky. Adam had all authorities over creations. Then, when Adam disobeyed the authority of God, immediately he lost all authority over creations. Please remember, this is very, very practical. Do you want to practice any authorities in any areas? For example, in your family, over your children, over your students, in your office, in your community, in your group. The more we obey the authority of Jesus Christ, the more authority is given to us. If you reject, if you disobey the authority of Jesus Christ, no authority is given to us. This is the principle of authority and chain of command. Do you submit to the authority of Jesus Christ? If you do, really, you will willingly act on his word. And we must give our full service and obedience to him. This is true faith by which Jesus will be astonished, surprised. Great, great faith. Shall we see the last part? Yes. This is the healing of a woman. From verse 14 to 17, let me read. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever, maybe a kind of malaria at the time. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. If we are healed, if we are saved really, we must wait on him. We must serve him. We are here to serve him. That's why worship is called worship service. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits, evil spirits, demons, Satan, with the word, only word, and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah 53:4. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yes, from this passage we have seen Jesus healed all kinds of diseases and all kinds of human beings, men, women, free men, slave, Jews and Gentiles, leprosy, paralyzed, fever, and all sicknesses. Yes, still, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. It means still now, Jesus' authority and power over all sicknesses, all weaknesses, not only physically, but also mentally, socially, spiritually, is available and effective for us. Do you believe this? If you believe, it will be done as we believe. As we believe. All that we need to do is just believe in Jesus. Put our trust in Jesus and then act on his word. And then Jesus will do his job upon us. May God bless all of us with the living Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, now and here. God bless. God bless. Shall we pray? Yes, God. Jesus, our Lord, our King, our Savior, is the very same yesterday, today, and forever and ever, because he was resurrected from the dead and is alive in us, among us. Jesus is perfect, immediate healer of all sicknesses and diseases, all fears. We can face tomorrow. We can face future, even though we do not know what is waiting for us, simply because of our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ. Father God, please help us to overcome our doubting, our untrusting on you, our unbelief. Even faith comes from you. Even faith is gift from you. Father God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. Father God, we praise you. We worship you. You say to us, those who stand firm to the end will be saved. Help us to be victorious and prosperous in this holy journey until we stand before you face to face. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.